We're going to take some time to get to know Heather now, who is our speaker for today. So Heather, come up and join me. Here she is. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We're excited.
I'm excited to be here.
I thought it might be nice just to get to know Heather a little bit before she leads us in opening God's Word a little bit later on. So Heather, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, a little bit. Where do you start? I grew up on a farm in north of Auckland, about 2 hours north of Auckland. Grew up in a church-going family, so it was a real privilege, taken along to a small church most Sundays, Sunday school. And then from there, I did all my schooling there until I last year went to Auckland, and then went to Waikato and studied education and also as a primary school teacher. While I was there, on and off with church, but God in his goodness provided a very cheap Christian flat. So I went to that. Actually, to be honest, I went into that flat because it was cheap. But God had other plans for me, and I'm still good friends with those girls today, and they were a real encouragement. And actually, I forgot to say, I became a Christian when I was 8, and I do remember distinctly praying the prayer where I wanted Jesus to forgive my sin and I wanted him to be Lord of my life and trust him. But I would actually say it wasn't until I went to the UK. So I taught New Zealand for a little bit and then I went to the UK. My idea was to go for two things, to teach there because New Zealand teachers were wanted, and to travel. God had other plans. And when I got there, I went on a little trip with a Christian group called Oak Hall. And because again, that was cheap. And while I was on that trip, I opened this book and a pamphlet and said, "Oh, come away for a weekend away on called Opening the Bible." And I thought, you know what? I've been a Christian because I was about 27, you know, for quite a few years now. I don't even know we'd open the Bible, you know, let alone read it. So I went on that, and there was one girl on it. She said, "If you enjoyed these talks," I said, "they've been amazing." She said, "Well, the church I go to teaches this sort of teaching," and I said, "Oh, that sounds great. Is it small?" Because I was used to going to this little country church, and she knew it wasn't. There was 500 people in that church, and she, quick as a flash, said, "No, but our Bible studies are." So I joined Bible study before I came to church, and I came along, and I remember praying, saying, "God, please give me some Christian friends in the middle of London. I don't know any Christians." And he put me in a group, and I'm friends with a couple of those girls even today. We visited them a number of years ago in the UK, and God provided for me again. And then from there, we started studying John's Gospel for a year. And I remember 3 weeks into the studying John's Gospel in the Bible studies, it was like a light bulb moment, and I thought, this is the God I believe in. You know, all of a sudden, I was reading it for myself, and I was going, wow, this is who Jesus is. I never really knew who he was. And I thought, I need to stay here. And I need to stay here for a long time because I need this. I need this truth. And I just was soaking it up. So I stayed there for 7 years. And then in that time, there came an opportunity to go to Bible college part-time. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to go back to New Zealand, I want to go back equipped. So I started teaching part-time instead of full-time. And I went to Bible college for a couple of years. And then from there, I got a job at St. John's Latimer Square doing women's ministry. And that was for a couple of years. And that was fantastic. That was God letting me use opportunities to open the Word with women, to start up a few women's Bible study groups, read one-to-one. People were praying for me. There's really exciting things going on. And during that time, I met Andrew. And Andrew and I got married, and then he said, "I've got a job in London." So I was back to London for a year. Then we had a job in Cambridge for a year. That's where I got pregnant, and we had Olivia. And then it was the Hawke's Bay, and we're in the Hawke's Bay for 6 years in a great Bible teaching church there. Loads of opportunities to serve, lovely church family to encourage. And from there, Andrew said, "Quite like this job in Auckland," and I cried. I said, "I'm not leaving Hawke's Bay unless there's a good church and the job's good." So I checked both out, or he checked out the job, and the more we prayed about it, the more it just seemed right. work was getting harder, the job up here in Auckland was better. And the church up there was teaching God's word, and it was growing, and it was training people, and we just had to go. And so we've been there eight years now.
Flip. What a journey, all over the show. So it started with just a cheap trip, opportunity for travel.
Cheap travel.
And here you are today.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your family?
Yeah, so I'm married to Andrew, and he works at the hospital locally. I said if we're going to Auckland, I want to be local. I don't want to be stuck in traffic. And I have three children. Olivia is 14, Ruben is 12, and Patrick is 10. So we spend a lot of time playing sport, to be honest. We spend a lot of time baking. Room's just made this amazing chocolate caramel brownie that he's taking away on the church weekend away. So we also spend quite a lot of time eating. And so I think that's just in the church I'm in at the moment. I'm involved in meeting up with a couple of women who are leading Bible studies, just to sort of help them. We host a Bible study group ourselves that Andrew leads. One of my big things is I'm trying to get around women in the community, getting to know them. That takes time. And so I'm just trying to be a Christian who's involved in church, but involved in those I'm around as well.
That is hugely encouraging. And on the note of church, church has looked a little bit different for you over the years. Tell us about where you have been meeting up until recently.
Yeah. So we were meeting, we were going to the Central Church, which is in Sandringham, sort of central Auckland. But we always had the idea and knew in the back of our mind that there was going to be a plant on the shore. We live on Milford, on the North Shore. And so I think it was around about March, there was this plant, and it started in a tent. So we met in this huge tent. You can see it there. It was pretty funny looking. But it was kind of cool. Yeah, it was quite cool meeting in a tent. And that's the inside of the tent. And at first we were like, hey, this is different. I like this. And people would come. We did a big letter drop, and people would come, and the word was taught, and there was Sunday school going on, and it was great. But then it rained. And when people's handbags started getting damp, we thought it was time to move. So we moved from there into, which is right beside it, into the tennis centre. And we're just in the process of purchasing a building, and if that all goes ahead, then we'll move to that. So we're a little bit all over the place, but the word is going out, and actually people are growing, and people are coming to church, so it's exciting.
I love that. It doesn't matter where we're meeting, but when the word of God is spoken, he is present and people grow and are changed for the better, eh?
Yep.
So you've talked about being a bit all over the show. You've been overseas, in New Zealand. Potentially loaded question, but has that always been smooth sailing for you? Or can you share with us some opportunities where you've really had to cling to hope and joy in amongst hard times?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's definitely been lots of settling in, and I think anywhere where you have a child, that's there's an upheaval with that, and you're away and you don't have family, so you're looking for support. And I must say that, you know, church family often just really gave that support, whether it was through meals or food or encouragement. So there was that, which was brilliant. I think the other thing is, you know, God does give opportunities. They're just not always what you think they're going to look like. And so I remember when we went back to London, I thought, I'm definitely going to work part-time, and I'll just put myself out as voluntary work. But I had locked in a bit like what I wanted to do. So I'd been helping run Melbourne's Bible studies at St John's, and I thought, I just want to do that, to be honest. And anyway, there wasn't really the opportunity to do that, but there was this job teaching 3- and 4-year-olds at Sunday school. I did not want to do that. Okay, I was teaching during the week. I'm not doing that. Anyway, it just kept coming up. This is job opportunity. This is opportunity. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? And I said to Andrew, I'm not doing that. And he was silent. And then I said, I'm not doing that. And he said, you could. And I thought, I should. And that was brilliant because that was along with a woman called Inga, and she said, I'm going to teach you how to teach the Bible to these kids. And it's not what you're doing. This is too boring. This is what you're going to do. And that was so that God used it, but it was not the way I had planned it.
I love that. How often does that happen? I'm sure many people in this room can think of opportunities where in our own lives we've thought, that's what I'm going to do. And God's been like, over that, wait a little bit. Yeah. It's very encouraging. Okay, what about over the times that have been a little bit more challenging? Have there been any particular books or resources which have been useful for you?
Yeah. I'd say the other thing which has been quite challenging is, my mother had dementia for 8 years, and that was challenging, but the encouraging thing is that was actually when we'd moved to Auckland. So she was half an hour up the road as opposed to a flight from Hawke's Bay. So being there for her was great, and she was a Christian, so it was one of those mixed things of suffering but also, you know, rejoicing. But then when she died, then there was the opportunity with Dad. Where was Dad with his faith? And so the resource that helped me most with that was a resource called The Word One-to-One. I think it's in the back of your booklets. And that, I have to say, that is one of the standout resources I have ever seen, because it basically explains the gospel. It goes through John's gospel, and there's little booklets, and you don't have to be prepared. You don't have to have gone to Bible college. You don't even have to have been a Christian for long to be able to do it with someone. It's got it's in booklets, and it's got on one side John's gospel, the other side the explanation. So it's a bit like, you know, when you watch sport and you've got a commentary and you go, oh, now I get a bit more. It's like that. It's not patronising questions. Why did Jesus do that? What happened next? You know, and the person beside you is going, this feels like a test. It's more of a commentary, and so at the end you go, wow, I got so much more out of that passage. You know, with Dad in lockdown, my sister Anne and I, we've been praying for Dad over years. Anne's been great at giving him books, and he's very pleasant. Great, excellent, we'll read it. But with this, I said, Dad, I'd really love to read John with you. You know, would you like to? Let's just do the first one together. And I can send it to you because we're in lockdown. And the great thing about Word One-to-One is it's actually online. In fact, I spent a day, that's all you need, I spent a day going online looking at all the resources. There's even walkthrough episodes. There's even how to invite someone. There's even an episode there showing a woman in the UK talking through her fence, over the fence, because they're in lockdown, doing John's gospel. Yeah, so it's great. So he would get on his phone, bring it up, because all I'd do is send it to him. I'd get on mine, and we'd go through John's gospel. And we wouldn't pray, because he doesn't pray. And I wouldn't even ask him questions, because it doesn't have really many questions. It was just presenting John's gospel and explaining it. And that was outstanding. And I have to say, I was really sure that it wouldn't happen. And I read it, the effort that said, many people just want to keep going. And I thought, you don't know my dad. But he did. And this year, we finished it. And I can't remember how many episodes it was, but we read it for over a year, and we've gone through John's gospel. And that, to me, is exciting. At 84, he has been presented with who Jesus is, what it means to follow him, and how should he respond. And I can leave that to God for his response. But I'm already looking for the next thing to do with him, and I think it might be Christ Files, because he's not sure about how valid the Bible is and how solid it is. So I'm looking for something else.
What a cool resource. That's one I'm going to check out. I think particularly during COVID, we have to be a little bit creative at times about how we're connecting with others. So it's nice to hear that there are things like this, which are faithful resources around the Word of God available for us to use both in person and online. So thank you for that. Is there any other books that you'd like to share with us while we're here?
Well, I think a book that's hot off the press is just being printed this year. This has actually come all the way from the UK. We have got loads of these, and the reason I've got loads is because I call it the handbag book. You have to have one in your handbag wherever you go. It is a giveaway book, and it is simple. I find that people nowadays, when you meet with them, they have not opened their Bibles, they have not thought about God, and they have no background to start with. This book assumes that. This is a book, so first of all, read it for yourself, but it's great because it's a book where your friend could dip in anywhere. So I had it up, and it's got a nice cover, and it's not like, you know, how to become a Christian in 3 days. It's things we all have in common. So I just had it up like that when I went to the hairdresser. And she went, "Oh, what are you reading?" Hello. But that dangerous answer to ask me. So I just said, "Oh, I'm just reading this book, actually. It's brilliant. It's written by a guy in the UK, and he just explains lots of things that we have in common." And she goes, "Oh, like what?" So I was like, "Well, did you know that we're actually made a certain way? You know, like we've got lots of things that are similar. We're made in God's image. The Bible says we're made in God's image." And she said, "Oh, what do you mean by that?" So, you know, the chat went on. But basically, I just explained the first two chapters to her because they're skinny and tiny. And she was interested. But my next challenge is that I needed to have two. I had one and I should have just given this one away. But you need to have two because then you can say, "Why don't you read it?" And they can dip in anywhere. There's a chapter on anxiety. There's a chapter on faith. There's a chapter on worship. There's a chapter on delusion. There's a chapter on fear, shame. And then the last chapter, it's an invitation to us all. It's a great read. Take 5, take 10. There's loads. They're really cheap and it's a great read and no one will have it. You'll be really cool because you'll have a new book.
I love that. "Oh, well, I just happen to have another one here. Why don't you take it?" Very nice, very smooth. Heather, thank you so much for taking the time to let us get to know you a little bit now.